This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
Kia ora, this is the R1 News for Friday the 26th of July. We'll be right back with you for the bulletin, but for now, enjoy My Plums Are Ripe by Mr. Biscuits.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Friday the 26th of July. I'm Yana.
And I'm Amy. In weather news, Monday the 22nd of July was the hottest day on record, just after the record was broken on Sunday the 21st of July. The global average surface air temperature rose to 17.15 degrees Celsius. So if you've been enjoying the weirdly warmer weather recently, just think about how hot the rest of the world is. Cities in Japan, Indonesia and China have registered record heat. Gulf countries have, if factoring in the humidity, been exceeding 60 degrees Celsius, and parts of Europe have surged past 45 degrees Celsius. Climate change, driven by the burning of fossil fuels, is behind the record, scientists said. However, make the most of today's warm weather, as next week is filled with rain and temperature highs of 9 degrees Celsius. In national news, Salient, the Wellington student-run magazine, ran a survey that found that 75% of 140 respondents felt unsafe in at least one of Wellington's nightclubs. A Wellington bar on the city's notorious entertainment strip has been described as a cesspit of creepy old men who can't keep their hands to themselves. The survey has demonstrated the grim picture of club safety in Wellington, with many participants providing stories of groping and unwanted advances. Phoebe Robertson, editor of Salient, said that the results were disappointing but not surprising, as the student culture includes that understanding that town is unsafe for many students. It's also been shown that students don't feel comfortable or protected by the clubs or police to report these assaults. A similar survey was done 3 years prior by the Wellington Alliance Against Sexual Violence, which received more than 2,600 responses in 48 hours. 90% of these responses said that they experienced harm in the central city, with 61% saying it was of a sexual nature. The responses from the survey led to a rally against sexual violence and became integral in the development of Pōneki Promise.
On Thursday of this week, the Dunedin police reported two separate groping attacks in North Dunedin. Sergeant Matthew Lee said that the incidents were not believed to be related to one another, and they are trying to identify the man responsible. Around 7:45 a.m. on Harbour Terrace Road, a middle-aged man wearing nothing but a red T-shirt approached two young women, slapping one inappropriately on the backside before running towards Dundas Street. Later that day, around 1 p.m, another young woman, walking through the Botanic Gardens on her way home, was grabbed on the backside. Police are looking through CCTV evidence to try and identify the man responsible for both attacks. A woman in Auckland has been jailed after she deliberately fed the morbidly obese dog to death, Nuggy. A search warrant issued by the police in October of 2021 found a number of dogs on the woman's premises, with the SPCA quickly rescuing her dog, Nuggy. Nuggy wasn't able to walk more than 10 metres before having to stop to catch his breath, with animal control officers observing that his legs looked to be collapsing under the weight of his body. The Manuera woman had been feeding the dog up to 20 pieces of chicken a day, as well as multiple dog biscuits and treats. Nuggy was assessed by a veterinarian and weighed in at 53.7 kilograms. With so much weight, the SPCA said that they were not able to hear his heart through a stethoscope due to all the fat surrounding his body. Video footage has emerged of a British dressage rider repeatedly whipping a horse during a training session and has resulted in the athlete pulling out of the Olympic Games. Charlotte Dujardin is one of the world's most renowned dressage riders, who in the past has won 6 Olympian equestrian medals, 1 bronze, 2 silver and 3 gold. In the video that has recently surfaced, the athlete can be seen repeatedly striking a horse with a rider already on it and an onlooker laughing in the background. Released by Dutch lawyer Stephen Wensing, who specialises in equine matters, the video was quickly published by several British news outlets and surfaced the day after Dujardin announced that she would be pulling out of the Paris Olympics. In this press interview announcing her leave, the athlete explained that her reasoning involved an error of judgment during a coaching session. The 39-year-old did not specify what she had done, nor explain what kind of error occurred, but furthered her statements on social media, claiming what happened was completely out of my character and does not reflect how I train my horses or coach my pupils. In the following days, the International Federation for Equestrian Sports said that Dujardin had been provisionally suspended from all competitions for 6 months, as well as making her ineligible for international or national events. Dujardin has not commented beyond the statements she has released, and her place in the Paris Games has been quickly filled by British athlete Becky Moody.
After Kamala Harris announced her bid for president, she reportedly raised a record-breaking $81 million donations in a day. However, her most culturally impactful endorsement has come from a single tweet. British pop singer Charlie XCX tweeted, "Kamala is brat," relating to her new album released last month. Charlie chose a neon lime background for her album cover, and soon after receiving her apparent approval, the Harris campaign's official Twitter page changed its background to Brat Green. Alongside this, the term Project Coconut has become a term used on social media, primarily TikTok, in regards to Harris winning the presidential election. This project name relates to a quote from Harris in a 2023 White House speech while sharing an anecdote about her mother, "You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?" People have shown their support through the coconut emoji and usernames relating to Project Coconut. A former speechwriter for Harris said he believes that it's extremely smart for her to lean into the meme. It shows a recognition of how critical young voters are to winning. Memes alone, however, won't win the election, but Charlie's tweet livened up the race and brought in more attention from the younger generation.
Today's news bulletin for Friday the 26th of July was written by Yana Gleason and Amy Martin and read to you by Yana Gleason and Amy Martin.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
Up later, we have interviews with Stella Lynch about the closed captions on lecture recordings and the producer of the upcoming Med Review, so stick around. For now, we've got Apple by Charlie XCX.
We are now joined by OUSA's academic rep, Stella Lynch, who will be chatting with us about OUSA's campaign to get closed captions for students on all lectures. On Wednesday's new show, we reported on the policy that will make lectures much more accessible, particularly for those who are hearing impaired, neurodiverse, and students whose first language is not English. All students were emailed a link for surveys inviting them to give feedback on the policy. The consultation process is open until August 6th.
So, hi Stella.
Hello.
It's very nice to have you here.
Thank
because
you.
We have lots of strong opinions about this, so it's nice to actually have a discussion about it.
Mm.
So, first question that we would like to know is, in what ways do you think closed caption lectures are going to enhance the overall learning experience for students?
So this, it's a policy review, and it's a policy review to mandate lecture recordings as well as put mandate closed captions on all of those recordings. Mm-hmm. And it's for those, I mean, most of us watch Netflix with subtitles and you go, oh my God, I hate it when you know you can't watch a TV show with them.
Yep.
So we use these in our everyday life already and suddenly we're putting them into our learning environment and it's going to give, it's just another accessibility tool for students to be able to access their education in a way that they haven't been able to before. Mm. It's a tool that doesn't disadvantage anyone and we're going to increase our student success because we've got this incredible accessibility tool that we want to put mm-hmm. on our lectures. It's going to increase students' engagement with them, mm-hmm. better their learning experience, and hopefully at the end of the day it's going to raise our marks and benefit the university as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I came from a university in Melbourne that has closed caption lectures at all in all sort of departments, and it's even like just like even live lecture, like I can tune into my lecture and it's live recorded at the same time. Like I'm not in there, but I'm like watching it from like, maybe if I'm sick, I'm from the comfort of my own home, but I'm still like watching the live lecture, getting on top of my stuff. So when I came here and like lecture recordings aren't live, they don't even have closed caption. I was so confused because I came from having such convenience to like
experiencing nothing. And it's not like something that it's like out of the blue. It's like something that's already being implemented in universities elsewhere, and just like another step that Otago has to take. So I'm glad that like this is being campaigned for, because like it's very, very essential to learning.
It is. We're behind the times on this. Mm-hmm. It's really funny, because when we started looking at this as a real like possibility in February, and I did a policy scan, just basically looking at all the policies about this for the universities around the country, and everything that I could find that was accessible to me, if it was a policy that was accessible to me, it basically mandated lecture recordings, there were much stauncher rules around them, and if I couldn't find the policy, there were news articles that mentioned the university saying, oh yeah, this is like what we're doing to make sure that we release lecture recordings, we're proactive and we're recording everything that's feasible and should be recorded.
Yeah.
Our lecture recording policy, it's like, it's there if you want to. If you feel like, if you like wake up on the right side of the bed, you've had a good coffee and you walk into class and go, oh, today's the day I'm going to record my lecture. Mm-hmm. That tells you what you should do, like how it should be recorded, all the rules you've got to do. If you don't want to, that's fine. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be like that. We're in 2024. We know that recordings are great for our students. Yeah. We know that closed captions are great for our students.
Yep.
And we also should know that students know what's best for them.
Yeah.
We're not all the 18-year-olds that came into uni at this, like, in first year, where they see a revolving door of 18 to 22-year-olds who are in and out before we really know it. And at 18, we don't really get it. We're new to uni. We're kind of all over the show. But once you get to third year, you either stop caring because you're going to graduate, or you turn up at OUSA and you're on the exec and you want to do something about it. And I know what would have worked to me at 18, and lecture recordings, having everything recorded, would have been great for me then. And staff just have to, they've got to realise that at the end of the day, we really do get ourselves, and we know that this is what's best for us.
Yeah, especially when you get those lecturers who talk a little bit too fast and don't explain things in a way that you can understand the first time round. Being able to watch it
absolutely
back makes it so much easier to revise. And it's been proven psychologically that you do study better when you show up in person. But also students know that, and having those lectures available throughout the semester means when you come to that exam season and you can re-watch those lectures, it makes it so much easier. Because if you're like, oh, actually, I didn't understand that concept, that was in lecture one, I'm going to go back and 100%. Watch it. And it explains it so much easier. Whereas if you don't have those, it's not as good.
No.
Yeah. I support it.
I'm glad.
Do you believe that, like, the closed captioning lectures will foster a more inclusive community on campus? And if so, how do you think that's going to be shown? Like, is it going to be, like, an accessibility thing? Is it going to be, like, how do you believe that?
I think first and foremost, it's totally an accessibility thing. Because if anything, it means you can come watch them in person.
Mm.
And you know that if you don't quite catch something, one, the lecture's going to be recorded, and two, when you go home to watch it, there are captions. So you can go, you can sit in class, you can do the extent of your learning in class with your mates in the environment that it's being taught, and then you still have that opportunity to go fill in the gaps in a way that works for you. And if you don't use them, you still use the lecture recordings, or you use them both. It really allows you to control how you learn, and I think we're going to actually see better attendance because students aren't terrified about missing it, or they've got to watch it at home because they need the laptop to produce these.
Absolutely.
I think having a more options for learning is really, really important for a lot of people, because everyone's different. And
absolutely.
I think because it's more of like just an inclusive like world that we're living in now, I think it's really important to keep up with that. And if we can't accommodate and make people feel comfortable with their learning experience, then it's going to
turn out worse.
Yeah.
You can't pick and choose what you're inclusive about. You've got to be inclusive for everything.
And we can't tell students that they come to university, they're in control of their learning, a lot of the study they do is independent, they've got to guide themselves. And then in the same sentence, we can't go and say, you have to turn up to lectures, you've got to do it my way. We pick one or the other, and we really should be picking our first option. We should be letting students choose what's best for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Developing that responsible, being an adult.
Exactly.
I just wanted to know, just like something that I read in The Critic, I read about there being some sort of like reports on logistical challenges regarding like complex scientific language or te reo, and I was just wondering like what could come out of that challenge like in a beneficial way. Could it be like an opportunity for work roles? Like, what about caption moderators? Isn't that like something like a beneficial thing that you could solve the issue with, and like therefore it's not an issue anymore, it's just something that you just have to solve?
it's a bit of a Pandora's box, that one. Mm. Because, yeah, we can, the gold standard is to have someone transcribe every lecture. And this hasn't been a conversation we've really had with the uni yet, because we've got to get this policy passed. Mm-hmm. But we're not saying no to it until someone else tells us no.
Yeah.
And then, in my mind, the next best option is to, so Disability and Information Services, they have a great system where they have note takers. Mm. If you've got a disability or a medical reason or any legitimate reason that you can't turn up to class and attend your lectures consistently, you can get notes and a student's paid for each lecture that they take notes for. Yep. I think we should implement a similar system, because we've got students going to these classes and listening to these recordings. We use an AI-generated transcript for our captions, and then we have a student who watches it and checks the transcript and makes those corrections in a similar way that they make sure that they were taking really high quality notes because they're being paid for it. I think we use students in those similar roles, and students can earn some extra cash for it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's a lot, it would be a lot less work than kind of what we're making it out to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Because then we don't put scientific words, equations, and especially languages, Te Reo Māori being like my number one priority there.
Yeah.
We don't put that in the hands of something like ChatGPT. We put it in the hands of an actual competent person.
Yeah.
And we outsource if we have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right before we wrap this up, how are students going to be able to get involved in this? Obviously, there's a link that's available for people to do and give their feedback. Is there anything else that students can do to become more involved in this?
There is a link. There's in the Unicom's email from the 17th. There are links to problems and benefits. Hopefully, we'll have something out. We'll see if we can get the uni to send out another email.
Yeah.
Otherwise, at the moment, the links can be found in OUSA Exec's Instagram bio. And students need to engage with OUSA. I'm more than happy to sit down for a yarn or talk to your lecturers. If you've got lecturers that you think would be supportive of this, or especially heads of departments, like, I'd love to hear about it.
Mm.
We need staff on side to get this through. This isn't just getting all the students on side. We need a significant chunk of staff to get this through Senate, which is the board it's going to go through.
Yeah.
It's 5 students and over 100 academic and professional staff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So we're a big minority. Pretty small minority there.
Yeah.
So we need a lot of staff support.
Yeah.
So it's having those conversations and really opening up that dialogue that this is what students need, and it's not going to be the end of the world for in-person learning. If anything, it's going to improve it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been amazing having you in the studio.
Thanks,
we really
so
appreciate
much.
You answering our questions, and hopefully this has been able to expand it a little bit more for people who weren't able to fully understand it from that Critic article. It's definitely like a big issue for a lot of students, and
totally.
It just makes it more inclusive and more accessible and makes learning easier, honestly.
Yeah,
and it's
for
just
sure.
It's surprising that Otago is so behind the times with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we've got an interview with some of the Med Review with the producer, but for now we have got Let Me Down by Madeira. Kia ora, guys. We have got with us the Med Review people. We've got Alex, Akila, and Liv with us in the studio. How are you guys doing today? Introduce yourselves, your name, and what you guys are doing with the production.
Hi, my name's Alex. I'm one of the writers this year.
Hi, my name is Akila, and I'm the producer of the show this year.
My name's Liv. I'm also one of the writers, and I run the social media account.
Awesome. So, what made you guys decide to go with the Madagascar theme this year? Obviously, it changes year to year, and everything's related to within the show, med school. But what made you decide to go with Madagascar?
Well, it was a bit of a pitching process. We had lots of different themes on the go. I think what initially drew me to Madagascar was just the way it sounds. It fits so well with med, and we were like, oh, we just have to do this. The characters are also so iconic. King Julian, Moto Moto.
Yes.
So it's always going to translate well. But we had a few different alternative themes that we were thinking of.
So back in November, the writers all picked a theme each, and then we had to pitch it to the wider director team. So I wanted to go for Pride and Prejudice, but they thought that was a bit dated, and they thought
that
no uni students read books anymore, so Alex pitched his idea instead, which was Madagascar.
Did you have any other sort of themes that were pitched that were maybe potentially coming up in future years?
Well, A big running joke has been Despicable Med. That's always been on the mind, especially with Despicable... I can't even remember the real name of the movie now because it's... Despicable Me. Yeah. Despicable Me 4 coming out this year, but... I think that might be next year's job, is to bring that to fruition. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I feel like Medigasc is going to be really cool. What sort of things would people be able to expect coming from this? Is it going to be just med school oriented, or will people be able to, if they aren't in med school, they'll be able to enjoy it?
Well, I think we've got like a medical theme going on. Like the whole storyline is around medical students or doctors, but it's a show that like literally anyone can enjoy because there's jokes for everyone. There's a wide range of references to like pop culture and things that just are relevant in today's generation, I guess. Yeah,
you don't have to be a med student to understand a fart joke, I guess.
Perfect. Everyone loves one of those.
I was just wondering, what has like the process been in terms of prep time, practice? When did you like bring this idea to the table? How long did it start? How long did it take to kick off the ground, and how many people are involved? Like, I'd love to know.
So we kind of kicked it all off at the end of Med Review from last year. So we were all in the cast last year, and as soon as that final show happened in the end of July, we applied for the director's team, and then that was chosen over the next month. And then from that point on, it was kind of... the ball started rolling. And so in November, after our exams, is when we pitched the themes, and then we walked away over the summer, and the writers spent about 3 months writing the script together.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's kind of been going on since then. It's quite a long process, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so the writers pretty much do the whole storyline over summer, and then once we get back into the start of Sem 1, we start, you know, putting out auditions and the promo for that, and then as soon as we've got the cast... this year, it's quite a big cast. We've got about roughly 40 people in the cast, including us directing team, which is 13 people. So, once we get our cast done, it's just 2 rehearsals every week, which comes to 4 hours over the week, and that's been happening every week for the whole semester, and now we're, like, moving into TCOL and... Yeah, so it's a pretty long process.
Crazy. And, like, the costume process, are the costumes going to be really, really good? Is it going to be, like, basically seeing the movie real life?
Well, I guess I'll...
It's a bit more thrown together.
Yeah, we're on a budget. So it's a lot of thrown together from what the cast have at home, but we have a really good props team that work really hard on creating some pretty nifty cardboard props. Mm. And so you might see us, you know, dragging some boxes out of Glassons and Hallensteins throughout the week. Yeah.
Awesome. And what about any like dance breaks? Are you going to be dancing, music? What can people expect when they come to the show?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of dancing. We've got 2 choreographers, and we've got, I think, 4 or 5 dancers in the show. Mm-hmm. 2 of them are full skit, and then most of the other ones are quite big as well. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of interspaced throughout. Most of them are to do with the storyline, and there's a few extra ones. But it kind of adds like a different dimension to it. It's quite fun.
Awesome.
For any people wanting to get involved in the future, how should they go about it, and when should they start looking out for auditions or whatever?
Well, like, the promo for auditions comes out, I think, in the second week of the first semester of the year. So it comes out pretty early, and, to go about it, honestly, we just encourage people to step out of their comfort zone, because it is kind of scary, especially when it's such an academically oriented course and you're so like focused on studying. Everyone's like, oh, will I have time for that, and I don't want to embarrass myself, and I've never done it before. And so we've got to tackle all those questions, but I think it's just a matter of stepping out of your comfort zone. There's something for everyone in the show, like whether that's singing, dancing and acting, and
And is it just med students who can sign up, or if you're like first year health sci?
The actual cast and crew is just the med students, but backstage can be anybody.
Oh, cool.
So we have physio students, commerce students coming backstage and helping out, which is really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. That's pretty cool. We like the inclusivity.
Yeah.
For everyone who's not doing med.
Yeah, we're gatekeeping, sorry.
That's okay. I'm sure there's law review coming out in Capping Show. We had the Capping Show. We had the producer come in last semester. It was pretty cool.
Cool.
But, I mean, thanks to guys for coming into the studio. It's been really great to talk to you. Obviously, It starts next week. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to do a little bit of promo? What can people do to buy tickets, whatnot? Obviously, there's beautiful drawings all over campus I've been seeing. I was like, wow.
Sorry if your clothing is covered in chalk.
Yeah, our shows are on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, so 1st, 2nd and 3rd of August. Our show starts at 7:30 and...
tickets are $20.
Nice.
You know, you just don't buy a pint a few days a week and, yeah, you can afford it.
And it's all going to charity as well.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. So, what charity?
Camp Quality, who run camps for children with cancer.
Awesome. Wow, that's really, really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. And how is the show, like, really long? Can people expect for, like, different skits and things? Because I know with the capping show, they change up their closing night and they play pranks on each other. You guys have that sort of thing. You're very strict. Stick to what we know. Don't change the script.
Yeah, we're quite loose on that last night, I think, especially reflecting on last year. I think it's the cast get more comfortable as well. The last night, they're happy to make little jabs.
Yes.
I think last year we had Auckland Med School in the crowd, and so everything was just about making fun of them.
Yeah.
And also some alcohol comes out in there last night, obviously. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think for the most part, it sticks to the same script, but depending on how the cast are feeling on the night, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and one last little promo for you guys. Why should people buy tickets?
Because you're a bad person if you don't. Kids with cancer, what do you mean?
That's definitely one way to go about it. That will for sure get people to buy their tickets. Yeah. Okay, well, for you guys, we're going to play Move It, Move It from the Madagascar movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be with you guys in a little bit.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.